Good morning. Truly, it's great to be here with everyone today. We do hope and pray you had an amazing week last week, and there's no better way for us to begin this one. Our Lord, in His infinite wisdom, has determined that we would come together every first day to glorify Him, to praise His holy name. And it is good for us to be here this morning. No better way to begin our week than this. I know one thing for sure. I know on Facebook, I've noticed here that it shows where you post pictures and it'll say a year ago, 2 years ago. And I know one thing is it got up to 70 degrees yesterday, and that was a lot different than a year ago. We were all bundled up with hoodies on and gloves, so God has blessed us. Been a little wet out there, don't get me wrong, but we've been doing awful well. Could be icy out there. So indeed, we thank God for the beautiful days that He's given us and that we make the most of whatever it brings. Been studying now for some time. I guess this is probably, I think, our eighth lesson, dealing with the idea that it's more than religion. It's about relationships. It's more than religion. It's about relationships. We noticed last week, if you recall, in our time together, we studied with the concept of walking in the light. God demands direction and not perfection. And that's very important for us to understand. And we notice our need to walk with Him. This is really part two of that lesson. What I mean by that is I want to look at another aspect. One we did not get a time to address last week. We talked about there our need to progress as a child of God. A need to get back up when we fall, when we stumble. A need to keep heading hand in hand with Jesus. What I want us to look at today is the idea, but what happens when we're walking and we can't see where we're going? What happens when we are trusting the Lord and everything around us seems to be falling down and everywhere we go seems to be the wrong place? What happens then? That's what we're going to look at this morning. I've entitled my lesson, real simple, walking by faith and not by sight. That is so easy to say, but I wonder if we understand, if we comprehend the seriousness of what that looks like, what it means in our life. So many things in the Bible, they're easy to read, they're easy to memorize, but they're not so easy to put feet to our faith. They're not so easy to live out in action. This is one of them, my friend. Because we're all children of God, and one thing I've learned is that sometimes children are scared of the dark. Amen. Sometimes there's fear when they don't know what's around them. And as we go through life, often we'll find ourselves, the Bible says this world is filled with darkness. But Jesus is the light, my friend. He's the one that enables us, makes us capable to overcome Satan and sin, to overcome self, and to live for Him. Here a passage that is often referenced, here found, was read a moment ago. There Daniel read it for us. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 7, very simple, short and sweet, right? So that's what I hope the preacher is today, right? Short and sweet. But think about that for a moment. You know, I'm afraid that oftentimes we don't realize the context in which this is found in 2 Corinthians 5. We don't realize verse 1 and 2 talks about that we're strangers in a foreign land. It talks about the temporary state of this life. You'll find repeatedly through 1 through 6, you'll find tent, tent, tent. Then you'll find house, house, dwelling. And a tent is a temporary abode, but a dwelling or a home is made for endurance. Let's go ahead and read it together this morning as we begin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to begin in verse number 1 with you, and I want us to catch up to our verse this morning, verse 7. And I want us to see the context in which it's found so we can see the weight of what Paul is saying. Notice with me this morning. For we know that if this tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that this mortal may be swallowed up by life. Verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit, as a guarantee. So we are always of good of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Here in the context is the need for us to not put too much weight in this life. In the context here, Paul wants us to see, he wants them to get back on track and to realize, to reevaluate the important things of life. My home's not here. My home's in heaven. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. I can't see my home now, but I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. I want to look at that with you today. Lord, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it. It's awfully heavy. But this is what you want me to do. And I'll carry it for you. Here's the illustration here of a bug. Looks like an ant to me. I've often thought about the concept of imagine what an ant must feel like when he's looking at the world. You think he kind of feels out of place sometimes? You think he might not be aware of his complete surroundings, of how insignificant, at least in the grand scheme of things, that he may seem at least? Don't we feel that way sometimes? Lord, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't understand why I'm struggling and why I don't see the reward now of what I'm doing. But Lord, I'll keep moving. Lord, I'll keep walking. Lord, even if I can't see, I'll keep holding your hand. Amen. And I'll keep going. I will keep going. At the bottom here it says, Philippians 4 verse 13, we all know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Walking by faith and not by sight. I like this illustration that one has made. How many of us have our faith shoes on this morning, right? Maybe ours ought to say doubt. Maybe they should say fear. Maybe they should say anger. Maybe they should, right? How many of us got faith on our shoes this morning? How many of us there, you recall in Hebrews 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. How many have our faith shoes on this morning? How many of us realize that even if we don't know it, if we can't see it, if we can't comprehend it, God is in control of our lives? That ought to give us hope, amen? You remember there the chapter of love in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 12 there, he begins about the misuse of gifts in the church. He talks about one body and many members. Verse 31, there I show you a more excellent way. Chapter 13, he then talks about the way of love, that nothing is anything without love. And his conclusion in verse 13, now these three abide, faith, hope, and love. Faith that brings hope, my friend. It's that faith, that trust, that belief in God, that assurance of our home in heaven, of that salvation. That's what gives us hope this side of life. Amen. And nothing is anything, as he says already, without love. The greatest of these, he ends, is love. Walking by faith, my friend. We're going to look at that today, and hopefully we can put feet to our faith and learn to keep walking with Jesus even when we don't know where we're going. If I asked each one of you here to define and describe walk to walk, that wouldn't be very hard, would it? Our main source of movement, maybe not transportation, but of movement, is probably walking for most of us, right? Here, you got up this morning, you walked around the house, you walked in the bathroom, you brushed your teeth, hopefully. Right? Combed your hair, hopefully. You walked to the kitchen, you made breakfast, you walked back and you got on your shoes, you walked out to the car, and then maybe you drove here. That's your transportation, but your mode of movement was your walking. You parked your car, you then walked inside, you then walked to your seat, and when you leave, what will you do? You'll walk again, won't you? Those that are hindered from walking have a great struggle this side of life, don't they? a great struggle. Life becomes very difficult all that they do. It is defined by Oxford to mean the idea to walk, to move at a regular or slow pace, some a little slower than others, by lifting and setting down each foot in turn, to travel on foot, a way of exercise. Say, yeah, I exercise every week. I got up and walked and brushed my teeth and combed my hair and I walked to the car, right? We understand what walking is. That's it defined. What about describe? One moving forward in a continual motion. We looked at that last week. We're to walk in the light. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. But if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, you have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. Cleanses us from sin. Amen. Continual motion. Don't stand in the light. Don't sit in the light. Keep going. Keep moving and understand you got to do it by faith, my friend. Sometimes you won't see where you're headed. You won't understand the place you're in. But I believe Jesus is leading me. I believe He has good plans for me. He has what's right for me. And I'm going to trust Him anyways, even though I can't see. The Bible requires that of you and me. It requires that of you and me. The Bible spends a great deal of time addressing one's walk and our need thereof. The word walk is found 209 times. Walked, past tense, 136. Walks, 41 times. Walking, 30. That's a lot of walking, right? I got tired of reading that. I don't know how to. The importance of our walk. The Bible does spend a great deal of time. We'll share just a few. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me. There's action, my friend, right? There's movement, my friend. What kind of movement? We got to be walking in the light with Him. Romans 6, verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism until death, that just as Christ rose from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk. Here it is again. In newness of life. Baptism's not the end. It's the beginning of your new walk with Him. 1 John 1, the one we looked at last week. God demands direction, not perfection. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we walk. This must be understood, though, not as a one-time event, but as a way of life. Walking by faith, it takes continual action. Didn't you notice that? Anytime someone's walking, they got to be moving, don't they? By definition, if they're not moving, they're not walking. Just imagine, though, what can be done for the cause of Christ when we learn to really put feet to our faith and trust God to lead our lives. I'm inviting you, I'm inviting me to join us as we journey on this most exciting adventure. That we really learn to walk with the Lord. How amazing that is when you look at the people of the Bible. Look there at the one of only two people who never saw death, the great grandfather there of Noah. You remember him? 365 years Enoch walked with God. And God took him up and he was no more. Here, I got a hard time doing it 365 days out of the year. He did it that many years. Only two people in the Bible are ever explicitly said to have walked with God. Only two. And they're related. Of course, I guess we all are. Enoch and then Noah. Enoch walked with God. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. The Bible tells us. The only two. Well, we're commanded to walk with God, but there are only two explicitly said to. And that's important, though, that we see there that need. 3 points. No, we've used a bit of our time, but we're going to look at 3 points. Walking by faith and not by sight. Number one this morning, I want to consider our first point. We need to stay focused. I believe the best advice you can give anyone, doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter where they are, I believe the best advice you can give anyone is the need to stay focused. Think about this for a moment. With school, with work, with their service to God, the key is to stay focused. Amen? Amen? That is the key. You got to keep your eye on the prize. You got to understand your objective. You got to realize the need that is before you. That's important, my friend. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 24, we read, "Do you not know that those that run in a race run all, but the one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." We're in a competition for our souls. We're in a battle for our souls. We're in a race for our souls. So stay focused. Stay focused. Paul is seeking, though, to get the church at Corinth, though, back on track by regaining their focus. Verse 25 through 27, he'll explicitly give you an idea of what he means. He'll paint a picture of what it looks like. He says, "I'm not one that beateth the air. When I throw my punches, I'm focused. I'm not just wasting my energy. I'm not just swinging aimlessly. I've got my eye on the prize, and I do it with precision. I stay focused. I understand the danger that's before me." We must learn, though, to keep our eye on the prize. Philippians 3, verse number 13 and 14, Paul would say to the church at Philippi, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but that's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I reach forward to those things that are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." Are we reaching this morning? Are we pressing this morning? Are we got our eye on the prize? And are we motivated to reach our goal? We must keep in mind, though, that what we see is not the whole picture. That's important, isn't it? It's reassuring to me. I don't always understand why things happen the way they do. I don't understand why, you know, we say bad things happen to good people. And I guess you could argue Jesus said no one's good but God. So you could argue there are no good people. But if there are, I don't always understand why it does. I don't always see. I see the pieces. God sees the whole puzzle. He sees the completion of that which is before us. The child of God is not only focused, though, on what we see. I want you to hear me now on this point. The child of God is not only focused on what we see, but on what we believe. And that is important, my friend. The truth, though, is often, though, that we do not know what is best. We don't even know what is best. Thank God that He's in control of our lives and not Jeffrey. Jeffrey often gets it wrong. God always gets it right. Many passages point this out. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, parallel passage 16, verse 25. "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death." Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Jeremiah 10, 23. "It is not in man. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." There's a need for godly direction, for godly deliverance in our life. We got to stay focused on Him. We need to learn to simply trust that God is working in our lives. This has got to be a favorite passage. I know it is for me. I pray it is for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose." Amen. We don't always understand why things happen the way they do, but God always has a plan. God has no problems, just plans. Amen? Amen. We've got problems. We don't always fulfill our plans. Even when we have good intentions, we often are unable to keep them. That's important for us. Point number two. Number one, stay focused. Number two, keep fighting. Not only must we stay focused, but we must keep fighting. This is important. We studied this in Bible class this morning, that spiritual battle we're engaged in. We're talking about there the devil and demons and angels, and we talked about our whole class today. Lyndon led a discussion about our need. He asked the question, we've begun, how many of you like to fight? And often we try to avoid fights, but he says, here's one you want to be fighting. Keep fighting, my friend. Not only must we stay focused, we must keep fighting. We are engaged in a spiritual battle, one we cannot see. We looked at that this morning, didn't we? In Ephesians chapter 6, it's not a physical battle, it's a what? Spiritual. It's one in the heavenly realm. Why do you walk by faith and not by sight? Because we can't see the battle that we're engaged in. The best we can do is have faith and believe. Trust God to deliver us and to bring us through. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal salvation. Fight the good fight. How are you doing this morning? Does the devil have you in the ropes? Or do you have him on his heels? How are we doing? It's not a physical fight by sight. A physical fight is by sight, but it's a spiritual fight by faith. Physical's by sight, spiritual's by faith, my friend. And that is important for us. When Paul was at the end of his life, he writes, I like this. Consider with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all who loved His appearing. Are you waiting for Jesus to return? Are you anticipating your home in heaven? We've begun there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We started in verse 1. And we notice if this tent is destroyed, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our dwelling, to shed our tent and to go home. Willing to fight for what is right. Willing to stand against sin. That's important for us. Unfortunately, in the world we're in, too many times we only play defense. And we forget to get on the offense. And then we like to complain when the country is changing their ways and they're crumbling around us. Because those who are speaking, unfortunately, are speaking for sin. And the children of God, the saints, are saying nothing. Don't complain after the fact. Get up and say something now, my friend. Why, there's a chance for change. Jude chapter 1, verse number 3. One chapter there, real easy. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful, necessary, for me to write to you and to exhort you, to encourage you, that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Those five words, that ye should earnestly contend, they come from a single word that's only found one time in all the Bible. It's only found here, this word. And it literally means to struggle against, to fight against. Do those around you living in sin, do they feel a struggle? When you're in their presence, do they realize the seriousness of their condition? Or do they feel like you're on their side, that you're on their team? I think that's a serious question, isn't it? Here, our job is to struggle against sin. Our job is to be fighting the forces of Satan. Our job is to speak up for what is right. Amen. It was said long ago, and I don't know who originally said this, said a little bit different in different ways, but basically this. The only thing needed for Satan to win is for God's children to do nothing. I believe that's exactly right. What are we doing? Are we focused? Are we fighting? Last point in the lesson is yours today. We must not faint. We must not faint. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul reminds us, I beseech you, I beg, I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies. Don't you like how he adds that there? Amen. Paul would say, I am what I am, by the grace of God, right? God's unmerited favor. I beseech, I beg you, by the mercies of God, God withholding the punishment you deserve. If God withholds the punishment you deserve, he does it for a reason. He does it so that you will get out and get active in your faith. He does it so that you can walk by faith and not by sight. You'll put feet to your faith and you'll live for Him. You'll be a sacrifice and A sacrifice is an interesting, this time of the year, we have a lot of leftovers, don't we? Thanksgiving, Christmas, sometimes they last till then, right? A sacrifice isn't your leftovers. A sacrifice is setting aside what you find of value to do greater things for the cause of Christ. A sacrifice will always cost you. Amen. It will always cost you. Did it cost Jesus? It cost Him His very life. It is time, though. It seems to me, though, that the hardest part of walking by faith is, and not by sight, is that it goes against all that we know. When you think about that, think about that concept, what was being asked of us. Everything we know this side of life is known by what? The senses, right? We have what we call the five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Any of those are missing? It's not going to make for a good day, is it? I like all of them. I don't know about you, but I do. You see, God demands that we learn to see beyond those. Isn't that interesting? We walk not by sight, which sight is really, here in the order I put them, I try to think of the more predominant ones, the ones that we use most. Sight, smell, hearing, taste, and this is my order, yours may be different, in touch. My first senses is usually what I see, right? That's how I get my bearings. After I see it, smell has a lot to do with it, right? Smell can travel quite some distance too. And then our hearing, our taste. Taste is an interesting one. And I think really touch is last. It's the one that's most close and up front. But there's a lot of them that come into play before then. We walk not by sight, but by faith. We got to see beyond this life. When we learn there is more than just the life we now live, this brings hope. Doesn't that bring hope to you? You see, the best for the child of God, the best for the Christian is yet to come. As we've seen there in our passage this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the argument being made by Paul, verse 1 through 6, that precedes verse number 7, is the best is yet to come for the Christian. You will get rid of this tent and you'll go home. Amen. To heaven. You'll go home to heaven. We're not as others, though, that have no hope. Consider this with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. Paul is writing there, the church at Thessalonica. It would seem that many of them had become weary in well-doing. He tells us twice not to do that, but they had. They're afraid because some of their loved ones have died. They're thinking Jesus will immediately return. Thank God He took some time. Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering towards us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Thank God for His long-suffering. Here, though, we read, though, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Don't lack the knowledge you need. Concerning those that have fallen asleep, those who have died, who have closed their eyes this side of life, lest you sorrow as others that have no hope. The child of God should not live hopeless. He should live hopeful. Amen? Amen. We've got a lot to look forward to, my friend. There was a time that we were hopeless, but now we're to be hopeful. Ephesians 2, Paul says to the church at Ephesus in verse number 12, that at the time you were without God, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. There's the worst place you can ever be, my friend. A hopeless situation. The reason is because you were without God in the world. He's talking about the Gentiles in context. Those who were strangers to the covenant of promise. Those that were made nigh by the blood of Christ, by the cross of Jesus. That wall of petition has been broken down. We're now all one in Jesus. Amen. We were without hope. Now we're hopeful, my friend. In conclusion this morning, have you come to really have faith in God? That's the question for each one of us today. It's so easy for us to say we live by faith and not by sight, but do we? Are we willing to really trust God in our life? Are we willing to walk by faith and not by sight? If you are a child of God, do you always have to see to believe? Know, we often like to pick on Thomas. We even got a name for him, right? In John 20. Doubting Thomas. Interesting enough, when Mary and Martha returned and told the apostles, guess what? Not a one believed. They all said, we got to see. Thomas just wasn't there at the time. And then when he sees, he believes. The Bible goes on to say, more blessed are they that have not seen, but yet believe. These things are written that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. That's for us, my friend. That's for you and me. That even though we don't see, we believe in the promises of God. We believe that God is with us this side of life and our best is still coming. It is time that we leave our comfort zone. That's what this lesson's about. It's about leaving our comfort zone and learning to really step out in faith, trusting God, even when we don't see what He is doing, even when we're out in the dark. Keep your eye on Jesus. He's the light of the world. Amen? Amen. He illuminates around you. He shows you where you're at. Thy word there, the Bible says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It'll show me where I'm at. It'll also point to where I'm going. Faith is taking the next step, even when you can't see. That's what faith is. It's taking the next step, even when we can't see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith there is the hopes, the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For we walk by faith and not by sight. If you're here today and you're not yet, you've not yet taken that step of faith, you've not yet turned away your life from Satan and came to the hands of Jesus, to the Savior, that opportunity is yours today. Confess His name among men. Be baptized to have your sins forgiven. As we notice already, baptism is not the end. It's the beginning. It's where our new life, our new walk with Him begins. Amen. You're here today and you are a child of God, but maybe you become discouraged. Realize who you're walking with, my friend. One thing I've learned about my kids is even though they're afraid of the dark, they'll walk down the hall with Daddy. They'll know that I'll protect them. They know that I'm there to be with them. When we got our hand in the hand of Jesus, no, He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He'll always be there to help us, my friend. And that ought to encourage us to keep going. Maybe you simply need the prayers of the church this morning. We are here to help you in any way we can. If you need to respond, please come as together we stand and as we sing.